what you waiting on? Check, checkers on your phone. This the Tony Sands Show, turn your radio on. Kelsey just turned down like a field goal, so we in the zone. Got games like a stadium, I'ma go ahead and pack the dome. I'm cooler, smoother, make you think with your medulla. You a student, I'ma school you with the facts that I'm producing. This is for the high schoolers, college students, nah. Everyone can do it, do this, I ain't new to this. My style is rich, it's lucrative, maneuver through it. You know it's fast only, you know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony, you could catch me every Monday at the kickoff on Sunday. I got these cold hard facts and we ain't talking Sundays. Co-host with Kelly Daly, shout out to the big homie. You know it's so sensational, like my big homie Tony. Co-hosting with Kelly Daly, you know it's facts only. You know I'm so sensational, like my big homie Tony, 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 Tony. Go BBS Radio.
We're live here another week of sports talk, football, basketball, soccer, you name it, here on the Tony Sands Show. We are getting it down at Cardinal Gibbons High School with the key matchup between Cardinal Gibbons and American Heritage. This game has gone in the favor of American Heritage for the last 3 to 4 years. And this is the year that Cardinal Gibbons have a complete team that they feel like at this point they can come back and they can revenge all those 3 losses and take this game. When you look at Cardinal Gibbons and the way that they are built, they're built behind a great quarterback, Nick Scalzo, who to me is going to be the difference maker in this game. But we're going to dig into that. We're going to also dig into, when my main man Mo Love comes to the Tony Sands Show, we're going to dig into the NCAA basketball landscape, because that's still been a topic, because they are saying that there will be further indictments to come. Further indictments to come up. We're going to dig into that part of the show when my main man, Mo Love, joined the Tony Sands Show. But guess what? Today at the University of Miami, when I say you can't think of a class nowhere throughout college football that inducted guys such as this caliber. When I say this caliber, nowhere on the landscape. I don't care if it's Ohio State. I don't care if it's Michigan. No one has put in a ring of honor the way the University of Miami just put in a ring of honor. When you're talking about the Ray Lewis, you're talking about Warren Sapp, you're talking about the playmaker himself, Mr. Michael Irvin, and the list goes on of guys that just went into the ring of honor at the University of Miami. But when I heard that this was going on, I thought that Michael Irvin and Warren Sapp would have already been into the Hall of Fame. Edgerrin James is already in the Hall of Fame. Not taking anything from Edgerrin James, but he was already in the Hall of Fame. Not taking anything from him, but I was under the impression that I think a Michael Irvin and a Warren Sapp would have went into the Hall of Fame before Edgerrin James. Not taking anything from him. These two guys have gold jackets. And I don't know, not knocking Edgerrin James, but I don't think that Edgerrin James is at a point that he will receive a gold jacket and become a Hall of Famer in the NFL. So I found that hard to believe, but it was a great class. When I say a great class, you can call us here at 888 on the Tony Sands Show to chime in. 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. We made know my main man, Doug, is hitting my main man, Mo Love, up out of Atlanta. Once he get him on the air, we're going to get into this thing with basketball. And it's still, they clear it now, and you got to understand now, the NCAA, you know, I'm quite sure they was thinking that there could possibly be some things going on with North Carolina and the NCAA basketball landscape. I think, you know, you had to wonder, when you look at schools like Louisville, and you're possibly hearing Kentucky in the air. But when you look at these big schools and you understand the magnitude of what it takes to win a national championship, I think some thought that the University of North Carolina, Roy Williams, might have had some, you know, that might have was not unturned. But the NCAA, confusing position on enforcement, is even more confusing with what's going on, because I think they've found out that, hey, you know, how and why North Carolina escaped sanction. North Carolina does not have to give back any basketball national championships, and it was not hit with any post-game bans, reduction in scholarships. And I think a lot of people thought that North Carolina might have had something to do when it came to possibly this thing that's taking place in basketball. And it is getting out of hand because the NCAA, the FBI has said that there will be more indictments to come down the pike when it comes to this basketball landscape. So, I mean, it's funny. It is funny how a lot of this stuff is going down. We're going to go to a quick commercial break with my main man, Doug. We're going to play some Curtis Blow. And then we're coming back with my main man, Mo Love, to join us here on the Tony Shan Show as we talk NCAA basketball as we are live here at Cardinal Gibbons High School with the key matchup between American Heritage and Cardinal Gibbons. Stay tuned here on the Tony Shan Show.
I like the way they dribble up and down the court, just like I'm the king on the microphone. So it's Dr. J and Moses Malone. I like slam dunks and taking it to the hoop. My favorite play is the alley oop. I like the pick and roll, I like the give and go, cause it's basketball, but Mr. Curtis
Blow. We're live back here on the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands. We're live at Cardinal Gibbons High School in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, as two of the top nation's football programs square off, American Heritage and Cardinal Gibbons. This is the year that Cardinal Gibbons is looking to get over that threshold and possibly make that run to the state championship. But they know in order to do that, they got to go against the district champ for the last 3 years, American Heritage. And if they beat American Heritage here tonight, they would possibly see them in a 1-2 matchup in the district down the line. But they got to take care of business tonight. And I think behind the power of a Nick Scazzo, that could take place and be really the key to this game. But let's get into basketball. Now, I want to get into back into this basketball thing and what's taking place. My main man, Mo Love, is joining me out of Atlanta. What's up, Mo? What's going on, baby?
What's going on, Tony? What's going on?
Listen, man, we're trying to continue to find out what is happening with this basketball in the NCAA. What is, I mean, Mo, listen, you got to figure, there were hearings this week. All this week, there were hearings. Some of the guys came in, I think it might have been Wednesday. Some guys had their arrangement on Thursday. But, Mo, let's get into this. Now, let's break this thing down because a lot of people are saying, will basketball go back to what originally where you can leave out of high school and go right into the NBA? Or is it worth it to take a one-and-doner? Is it worth it, Mo? What's your opinion? You're a basketball guy. You deep into the basketball realm. Is it worth it to take
the tough thing is that the kid coming out of high school, I mean, the one and done kid, they're getting all the perks from these shoe companies and opportunities to play basketball with these great AAU programs and the college teams coming after them and see what happened to the program. See what happened that, like with Louisville and North Carolina, and now you got Kentucky, you got these teams that you can invest in. And I read up and said, you know what? There's more people going to turn and going to flip. It's going to open up a whole lot of things. So these kids are one and done. Maybe go back to the old way going to one and done, I think. You know, because these kids, it's about money. It's not anything about education no more. It's about money, taking care of my family. You know?
And we talk about taking care of family because they're saying there's a possibility there will be 40 to 50 job openings by March based on this basketball situation because they're predicting there'll be guys that'll be fired. There are guys that'll be more guys that'll be indicted. You got to figure the FBI has asked Auburn. Auburn receives federal subpoena in bribery case. They're asking Auburn to turn over some of their records when it comes to Chuck Pearson. Auburn says it has received a federal grand jury subpoena in the bribery case against basketball associate coach Chuck Pearson. The university confirmed that in a statement Thursday in response to an open record request to the Associated Press. I mean, and it's getting further. This thing is just, to me, just starting out. They're saying that these guys could possibly look at 80 years. And they're saying when you look at 80 years at a basketball coach, you've never had anything to do with any criminal history, and now you're possibly looking at facing 80 years?
Yes.
You know what I mean, that means. It reminds me of the Ply song, when Ply say, you know, what do the cigarette has to do with anything? Because you know ask for the cigarette on Fort Knox 48, that means guess what? They better start talking. They're going to start talking, Mo. Man, I'm telling you, when you look at this thing, look at Pearson. Pearson was suspended without pay after prosecutors said the former NBA player accepted $91,000 in bribes. Now, and let's break this down. And I don't think people understand. When you look at a guy like Chuck Pearson, who's making almost $500,000.
Right.
You're making $500,000 to take over a course of time to take $91,000. That's chump change compared to what your salary is.
You're right.
When I look at Lamont, you know, they're accusing that he took over $50,000 over that time, and his salary is $400,000. He makes that in bonuses if they make the playoffs.
Just imagine, Tony. Just imagine all this money out there. Just imagine what's going on. Just imagine the money they took. Now you're seeing what's going on with basketball, how it's going to change. The Pac-12 have a task force now. The ADs, just to find out what's going on, they're going to change the whole game of basketball where kids go in and want to sign or play the AU team. Because they're going to say, you know what? We don't know what this kid going to do. We're going to get in trouble. It's scary. You know what I'm saying? It changes the game.
It changes the game. And you see the great Avery Johnson, Alabama's basketball coach, said this program is being proactive with all proper authorities in wake of the resignation of the associate AD, Kobe Baker, who was questioned by the school in connection to the FBI investigation into corruption of the college basketball. So you can see Alabama is trying to get out in front of this story. But how far can they get out in front of the story if there's going to be a possibility? When you see a guy resign, where there's smoke, there's fire, there's a possibility that Alabama understands that there could be some situations that they may face in the near future. So they're just trying to be proactive. And Avery, you know, like you said, Avery Johnson said he was disappointed upon the first hearing of the investigation. I'm quite sure he's not the only one, but there could be a lot more of this taking place and getting ready to take place. Because a lot of places right now, a lot of coaches are running scared. I'm going to be honest with you. This thing is going to get worse.
You don't think you're running scared? You think the AU coaches, you think the boosters is not worried right now? They are shaking in their boots, Tony. You know why? There's a lot of money out there.
You talk about AAU basketball. Let's break down this AAU basketball thing and get a little bit into that, as you stated. You're out there on the landscape of AAU basketball. How does this thing play out, man? I mean, how do you know, these kids are paraded in front of everybody. They're out at these camps, these clinics that go on in Vegas, and they travel all around the world. But they rate them. They rank these guys in elementary school. And I know when you're telling me I'm in elementary school and all it takes at that time, you buy me a couple of shoes. Hey, I think we buddies for life at that age. Elementary guys. You're telling me I'm the number one ranked fifth grader coming out of my class. To tell a kid that you already – and see, that's the great thing about football. Football hasn't gotten into that part of this game yet. Football hasn't gotten – but it's coming there due to the 7-on-7s. There are people on this end, also in the 7-on-7 game, that is wondering, do this thing taps us?
With the AAU, you see when the kids come in and get the shoe deal. You know what I'm saying? Kids, you know when they get ADs, what happens. When they get the leaders, they get certain kids to play on that team. So you got five kids for different area playing on the team. And then you're trying to figure out the way the money going. They got shoes. They got bags. They're going to Vegas. They're going all over, you know?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. But when you say these kids are traveling all over to Vegas, they travel to Vegas. They travel everywhere. And then to get a guy and you give these kids shoes, I'm quite sure if you give me shoes, at some point you're giving me money. It takes a lot. They say the average family spends over $5,000 a summer to send their kids to these basketball camps. But when you look at the layout of where these kids are coming from, the majority of them are coming from income households whose income is not even near $30,000 to $40,000
a year. Right.
Now, how does this equal up? Well, I'm a kid. I travel all around the country. Somebody's paying this bill. And I'm quite sure, like you say, this is why the AAU basketball teams are starting to be scared. This is why they spoke on. I got a call a week ago to where they're saying South Florida and the 707 teams better start looking out. There could be possibly some people knocking on their doors to say, hey, listen, the FBI, when you say those numbers, when you say those three words in basketball, when you say FBI, you say DEA, you say when you're talking about that boy's pocket, brother, you know it's serious. It's not the four letters. The four letters, you cool. The NCAA, right. You cool because they have no subpoenaing power. But when the three letters come to you, you best to be careful. You best to watch out, Mo. And it's going to get, as they told you, this thing is going to get a little bit more deeper than what we think they're looking at. Like I said, 40 to 50 people, 40 to 50 jobs open up, and that's because of indictments with the FBI.
Man. And it's going to get more. We're going to see coaches on. All coaches are nervous because you know you got kids. What every program, Tony, have a kid that plays AAU basketball. That's how big the market is. You know, so if that kid plays for have Adidas team, he goes to a program like Louisville that has a deal sponsorship. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's go through. If I did go Adidas, I did leave Louisville, he got a contract again. Because they own you now. Adidas own you when you go to sign that contract in the NBA. So you got to sign with Adidas because they get that money to you. Because they've no years. Like you said, elementary school, they sponsor them so much. They know years. So I give it all this money. Oh, you're part of it. I want the kids going to play with you. I want the best players to play with you. And I also, I want you to go to this school. Oh, you're going to Louisville. You're not going to Kentucky. You know what I mean?
But let's check this out. And when you say, look at the contract that Louisville had. Well, I don't say Louisville because I still say that Louisville didn't have a contract. I say Rick Pitino had the contract. When you look at this man was at $192 million. $192 million that was being given to Louisville in this basketball in this shoe contract. Rick Pitino was receiving over 90% of that money.
Right.
90% of the funds were going to Rick Pitino's pocket. I find that if there ever been a bigger payday for a guy, that's a big payday. That's not even including your already original contract that you was receiving from the school itself.
Right.
And this goes back to where I think this was the nail in the coffin to where Pitino could not survive this, but a simple fact he had just survived the scandal with the women and the school. So now here you go again. And he was trying to wiggle his way out of it from a standpoint of saying, hey, you know, I had nothing to do with it. But now now it puts the pressure back at Louisville. It puts that pressure back down.
But you ask yourself, Tony, now you think all collegiate sports going to be looking at basketball, football, everything we're looking at now. Somebody going to start, you know what? We're going to start paying attention to these kids getting this money. Somewhere down the line, these schools are getting all this money, and the kids are getting a part of this money, and the coaches getting the money. So, we're going to start looking, because now the whole playing college basketball is going to change, especially with basketball and football. They open the eyes of everything now. And that's what we did with this book.
But do you see us going back? Do you see us going back to the original way of where basketball, where they say, you know what, let's pull out of this thing of holding these kids. I'm trying to figure out, what's the advantage of sending a kid to college for a year outside of the colleges just getting pad in their pockets? That's the
you know,
I'm still trying to figure that.
Well, I mean, you know, playing basketball and getting to that level playing as a grown man when you get to the NBA, there's not too many grown men like LeBron James or Kevin Garnett that make it. You know, you got some guys, Kwame Brown, who can win in the league, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, it made a little noise. You got the kids from New York. They from New York play ball, then you make it noise. You know, these kids, they got to be experienced enough. And I think going playing in college, give them an opportunity to play. But now, we're taking money now. Now money's involved. Yeah. Now money's in looking at all the colleges now. And that's going to cause a problem.
But how – I'm looking at how much money do you think is just say on an AAU, you've been to AAU tournaments. How much on an AAU event do you really see, and how much money do you think is being played around with at that point?
Is it a tournament itself? I mean, you got the big market teams coming there. The tournament itself paying for the big market team to get there, and the other market team, the lower team paying. And you got the sponsorship. It is $100,000 for that tournament. You got to travel. You pay for the hotels. You pay for the room. You pay for the food. See what I'm saying? It's about $100,000 more. It's $100,000 at least. It's just a tournament. It's $100,000. Maybe $50,000 to $100,000.
If you got 15 guys, you got 15 guys that you're going with, right?
Right.
15 guys. How many of those, how much do it cost to put on, to take a team to a tournament?
Well, a sporting tournament run about $495 a tournament, maybe $500 each team.
Wow.
So that's $500 each team. Now, that's not including traveling to Vegas now. You know, the flight going to run about $250, and not including and staying in the hotel for the whole week or maybe the weekend. That's about $350. So I'm saying? So you're paying at least about for each team. They pay at least each player to come by at least about $500 plus, and still giving the perks of coming to the shoes and the bags and being there and being in the tournament and the T-shirts.
So you're saying this at any point, this thing can get, I mean, to take an average kid, like you say, on a tournament, it would cost his family how much to take a kid to a basketball game, for him to travel with you guys?
$1,000. Just go to Vegas.
$1,000. To go to Vegas.
$1,000. Go to Vegas.
And that's with the airfare. That's what, you know, whatever, the food and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, $1,000. $800,000. Wow. Yeah, $800 to $1,000.
And how many tournaments can a kid possibly attend during that course of the summer?
Oh, well, you know, you can attend how many, because there's so many. You can attend 10 to 20. If you got the finance, you have the money, you can go to every month, because they have a sports tournament every week. You know, it just, you know, the travel is expensive there. And you can, if you're the high market team in the nation, you ain't got
no one
got
the
next travel expense.
Yeah. No one? Yeah, because somebody's going to take care.
You got two marquee players, you know, three marquee players. I want to see that player, and I want to see that player play, and I'm going to have a coach there from Kentucky and from Notre Dame and Duke and Miami. I'm going to be there to watch that kid play.
And that's what when I look at the way this thing is playing out. Do you continue? I mean, this is a costly fee for a family whose parents are not, you know, making near the money, you know, that could be made when you talk about $1,000 and you're going 5 to 6 trips a summer. That's $6,000 right there.
Right.
And not including, you know, the travel that now we're getting ready to go into season and what may go into the season.
You know, the market is what opened up to the, it's been going on for years, but opened up the season, opened up now for the AU season, AAU programs. Now they're saying now, okay, all this money, where is money going? And now we're going to stop this stuff. We're going to go back to the old-fashioned way. We're going to figure out why you know, the Louisville and the other teams are getting all this money for the Adidas. And somebody got jealous. I'm going to tell.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And I'm not getting a piece of the pie, Tony, so I want a piece of the pie. You know what I'm saying?
Now, I want a piece of what's going on in this industry.
You know? And you see it every day. College athletes tell and do things and say we got perks, you know? But however, somebody going to get caught. What comes in the dark comes to the light. Am I right?
Yeah, and it comes to the light, and it is coming to the light because the FBI is bringing it to the light. Mo, man, it was a pleasure. We talking basketball. We're going to continue to top in on this because we know this story is building and building and building here on the Tony Sands Show. We're going to bring you each and every week on the show because you are our basketball insider for the Tony Sands Show. Man, hey, let's keep this thing rolling. Let's keep it going, bro. I'll hit you up next week. We're going to do a whole show on nothing but basketball in the landscape and where this thing is going and how it may play out as this thing go. Man, it's a pleasure joining the Tony Sands Show. We're going to go to a 1-minute commercial break with my main man, Doug. Going to take me down, then I'll come back with what? We're breaking down. final we're breaking down to game, tonight's game between American Heritage and Cardinal Gibbons. And I'm going to bring my man on that breaks down quarterbacks. My main man, Keith Franklin, is going to be joining the Tony Sands Show after this. But, man, hey, it was a pleasure. I'll hit you up later in the week, bro.
Okay, bro. Talk to you later. Have a good one.
You too, bro.
All right, later.
Hey, yo, I'm slipping. I'm falling. I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping. I'm falling. I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping. I'm falling. I got to get up. Get back on my feet so I can tear. Hey, yo, I'm slipping. I'm falling. I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping. I'm falling. I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping. I'm falling. I got to get up. Get back on my feet so I can tear. I've been through mad different faces, like masons, to find my way. And now I know that happy days are not far away. If I'm strong enough, I'll live long enough to see.
We're live here back on the Tony Sands Show as we're at the live at Cardinal Gibbons High School talking football. We was talking basketball earlier with my main man, Mo Love. He's breaking it down and telling you and my audience what's going on with this landscape of college basketball and where this thing is going to play out. But without further ado, let's bring my main man, Keith Franklin, to the stage. Keith, what's going on, man?
Hey, how you guys doing? What's up, Tony, man? Everything good?
Yeah, man. Listen, man, this place is getting packed over here, man. It is getting packed.
Oh,
we know
yeah.
that you know you were supposed to join us on the show, but hey, listen, whatever it takes, the Tony Sands Show is going to bring you. We know you had to, you know, you had some unexpected business, but let's dig into this. Let's break this yeah. game down because this is why we are here. We're here to break this game down between Cardinal Gibbons and American Heritage. And coach, you know both of these teams. You've seen a lot of these kids. You know a lot of the coaches on both
yeah.
sides of the bank of the spectrum, man.
Yeah.
Let's break this thing down. Let's start breaking it down. From a standpoint of quarterbacks, you know American Heritage quarterback, you know Scalzo from Cardinal Gibbons. This young man is tearing up the landscape. But give me an idea when it comes to quarterbacks. Break down both of these quarterbacks and what you see and how you see them as controlling this game.
Well, I think the two guys tonight are great. You know, they're great leaders. You know, both quarterbacks, they're carrying a high-powered offense. You got the number one, number two team in the state. And they're led by, you know, the young man over there, Cardinal Gibbons. He's been in the system for 2 years. Scalzo,
yes.
he's doing a great job and a great continuation. They're running that air raid, and I think he really got them rolling. And the young man that transferred from Delray Harris, he fit into the plantation. He's coming in like he's been like a seasoned vet for the last couple of years. And they're just being great leaders. And, you know, I'm just looking for a great game tonight by both these young men. You know, Scalzo, he's got a great sense of the game. And my man over there at Heritage Plantation, I mean, this guy is very athletic. He's very accurate. And I'm just looking for some big explosive plays. And I think it's going to come down to the quarterback play tonight.
And when you say coming down to the quarterback play, will it come down to see which quarterback make the first mistake? Or will it come
yeah.
down to, you know, the elusiveness of the quarterbacks? When you look at Scalzo, who is very elusive, and that's probably, you know, a lot of people compare him
yeah.
to the Heisman Trophy candidate out of Texas A&M. And does that put him at more of an advantage when it comes to trying to go up against American Heritage defense?
Well, I think, you know, by the last year or two, you know, Scalzo has faced Heritage. So I think he's at home this time, though. So I think he's going to be in a great environment. He has a great defense of himself. To protect. And I just think, you know, for him tonight, he just got to make great decisions. You know, whether it's running the ball, checking out to a run play, maybe using a snap count, and just using some of the ability that has led him there. He's got a great receiving core, and he's got to just respect American Heritage defense. You know, and I think he needs to get him in some good audibles, and maybe at times they can check out to the run game, and, you know, just be smart about it, you know, and limit the mistakes, you know?
And when we look at this game, let's go match up. And I always say let's match this thing up. Let's look at American Heritage secondary up against this wide open air raid attack wide receivers for Cardinal Gibbons. How do you see that playing out? Do you see American Heritage secondary being able to lock down? Because, you know, American Heritage has the two top corners in the country. And Surtain and Campbell, you know, so now they're going up against these young gun receivers. How do you see that this is playing out?
Well, I think these guys, they know each other very well. Like I said, it's really a continuation from last year because both teams were young last year. You got a lot of guys coming back from both sides of the ball. And, I like the receiving corps and Cardinal Gibbons, they're second to none. And, hey, you talking about a secondary, like you just mentioned, man, you got Campbell on one side and that PS2, Mr. Satan on that other side, man. I just think it's going to be a great matchup. I think it's going to be which receiver can outsmart that defensive back and which quarterback is going to play games with receiver. But, again, that's why I say it goes back, you said earlier, to the quarterback. Who's going to be smart making that good decision? Who's going to get baited up on either side of the ball? So, you know, I think with the receiving corps, with Gibbons, with that young man Carlos, and those guys they got over there, Brandon, all of them, I think it'll be a great matchup for Pat and Mr. Campbell on that other side. So this is a great matchup, man.
And when we look at this game, man, because this is, listen, this is what, if your team is not playing tonight, this is where everybody is ascending on Cardinal Gibbons High School. I think it's probably one of the biggest games that Cardinal Gibbons has hosted in years. When it comes to what this game means,
I think this is not only the game in Broward County right now. I think this is probably the best matchup in the state, if not around the country. Where you got two programs that have been building, and let's give it to them. Hey, to be the champ, you got to beat them. And you know, Harris has won some state championships the last couple of years. And Cardinal Gibbons, hey, I think if they got past American Heritage, it could have been them. And I think, you know, Gibbons going to be hungry tonight. But yes. I think both teams got to understand, you know, hey, let's send a message because, hey, I think this is only round one right now, brother. I think down the road.
And does it – I tell people all the time, does this game count more than the game that you will be facing again? Because we're quite sure we'll see these two teams facing up again with the way this thing is playing out, with how powerful – Cardinal Gibbons' offense, and their defense is playing very strong. They're playing behind a linebacker that is terrorizing everything, Ryan Sadler, who has really right now is the leading tackler on this team. These guys are, as you look at the locker room, man, Cardinal Gibbons is focused in on this game. But does American Heritage come into this game thinking, we done beat them in the last couple of years. We still have this. Does American Heritage fall asleep and Cardinal Gibbons get amped up, they get in a situation to where Cardinal Gibbons getting at a point in the game and all of a sudden they've taken a couple punches in the mouth from American Heritage and we say, my teeth just fell out, that's it, I gotta run to the dentist. Is this the team that Cardinal Gibbons, that Matt DeBuck has, that is able to take those couple punches in the mouth and say, you know what, is that the best you got, American Heritage?
Well, I think DeBuck has the last couple of years, he's built this program for this moment. I think, Tony, if he's going to say which means more important tonight, I think it will be a great victory for Gibbons. I think it means more to Gibbons to say, you know what, hey, this could be the front, this could be the first step to being district champ. You know, American Heritage, let's give respect, man. They're on a different level right now. They've won that state championship. They've tasted the best it can be. Gibbons has been knocking on the door. And I think it's very important for Gibbons to send a message. You know, to say, hey, look, man, let's get them tonight and let's get them back again the second round back here at home. And in the same breath, you know, I think Pat, you know, he's been a part of state championships. He's also been the leader the last couple of years. I think Pat is saying, listen, guys, hey, let's go over there tonight. Hey, let's do what we do, play good defense, play great offense, play smart special teams, and let's get the second game, round two, let's secure it back at home, back in Plantation. So I think it's going to be a great mind game. I think both teams are going to be focused very well.
And I got a chance to see as American Heritage came off the bus. They came off focused. But I was also walking through Cardinal Gibbons' locker room. And I think I've never seen these bunch of guys this focused in on a game. And as you look at the landscape out here, man, every outlet of media is here at this game covering this game. This is the game of the week. And as you know now, heck, the Dolphins even have, I think they have hired Facebook now is covering games live. That's just where this thing has gone. Facebook is covering, and this is the Facebook game of the week here in Broward County. If you want to watch this game, you can go to Facebook if you're not here. But I would say, being the place if you want to watch some good football, because it is, that it is. Now, Frank, and like you said, Broward County has put out some of the best athletes. And when you look at this game here, there's probably, when you compare both teams together, there's probably about 20 to 25 D1 kids on this football field tonight.
Listen, man, we're getting a glimpse of the future of Broward County. I mean, I think some of those big-time programs, they are licking their chops. When they get a chance, like you just mentioned, Tony, you got a game on Facebook. I think some of them college coaches, if they got games tomorrow, I think some of them got their Facebook account open, ready to watch this sucker. This is going to be a brawl burner tonight, brother.
And listen, that game.
I'm in route right now because I want to see this sucker live. So I'm definitely right now trying to get him finished.
And I'm going to, like I say, this is going to be a game that's going to keep us in tune, keep us going on. It is the game. Frank, man, hey. Once you get here, hit me up, man, so that way we can break this game down while we sit with each other. My main man, Ryan Bartow, is going to come to the show, and we're going to break down college football because Ryan, Frank, is on a 61 college tour. He's been on 61 colleges, man. He spent the week this week in Wisconsin, Utah, and now he's in Idaho.
He's the best in the business, baby.
And I tell people that all the time. Ryan Bartow is the best in the business. That's why he is the man when it comes to breaking it down. He is the expert. There is no other than my main man, Ryan Bartow. But, Frank, man, thank you for joining the show. We're going to come back after this commercial break. We're going to come back. We're going to play me some MC Light, and we're coming back with the light, the man that can put on the light when it comes to college football and college athletes, my main man, Ryan Bartow. The Tony Sands Show. Stay tuned.
Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I got to get up. Get back on my feet so I can tear. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I got to get up. Get back on my feet so I can tear. I've been through mad different phases.
We're back here live on the Tony Sands Show. We're back here with the light himself, my main man, Ryan Bartow. What's going on, Ryan? What's happening, man?
Coming to you live from Boise, Idaho, just wrapped up week three of this national tour.
Man, wow. Week three. Ryan, what is it? You traveling. First of all, break down where you have already been this week here and how it put you up in Idaho.
Well, week three, I left my home state Monday morning and visited the Wisconsin Badgers and their staff. They got another top 10 team there. They face Purdue tomorrow. Obviously, a place that I think is one of the great overachievers in college football. We're talking about a high academic institution where you usually need a 21 on the ACT and a 3.0, that combination, to get into the place. The state itself probably only produces four or five Division I guys a year, and they don't pay the assistants great. They probably have the least support staff of any program I've visited in the last 18 days. So, but they still overachieve and win 10 games a year, and they're playing in that Big Ten title game as much as anybody. So I think it's kind of a miracle what they got going on, and I know there's three kids that are from South Florida that they love there, and Derek Tindall, who starts that corner, who, you know, that is really balling out this season and positioning himself well. Dante Carrier Williams from St. Thomas Aquinas plays a ton at nickel. He'll compete for a starting job at this time next year. And Fayon Hicks from Flanagan is a guy that got his full bill of health a couple of weeks ago, and he's been outstanding in practice. He'll redshirt this year, and then he'll compete for a starting job as well next year. So they've done a good job traditionally out of South Florida, kind of finding those seconds and thirds and wind up turning them into stars.
Exactly, turn them into superstars. And how do you, Ryan, when you, and I've always said, you know, when these kids leave the state, I think they have something to prove to the schools that's within the state that you should have took a chance on it.
Right.
You should have took a chance on me, and you did not take the chance. So this is what you're going to get. I'm going to go off, and I'm going to become a star at a school like a Wisconsin, at a school like Clemson, at a school like Nebraska, these different schools, I'm going to be a star because you should have took me Miami, Florida State, and Florida. Those are the big three here in the state of Florida. But then we also have Central Florida and we have South Florida. But Ryan, outside of Wisconsin, what was your next stop on the Ryan Bartow Tour?
Tuesday I was at Lincoln, the home of the powerhouse Cornhuskers. And gosh, what a cathedral. One of college football's great stadiums, Memorial Stadium, right downtown Lincoln there. Great facilities. And you know what? They do have enough support staff there, enough resources. The only problem is they're probably right in the middle of no man's land in terms of no local talent. Like, they even told me they're probably the westernmost school in the Pac-12 footprint, the easternmost school in the Big Ten footprint, and the northernmost school in the Big 12 footprint. So they're right in the middle, and they have to go elsewhere. And that program moving to the Big Ten, that made it a harder recruiting sell. They don't have those national games you always tuned in against Oklahoma or Texas anymore. So that job, and the old money there doesn't want to hear it, but that job's become a lot more difficult than it was in the 80s and 90s. And that's why they're probably struggling some. And plus, they should probably embrace the concept that former Husker Barry Alvarez is doing at Wisconsin in terms of their player development.
But, Ryan, Nebraska, to me, would never be those Nebraskas of the 80s and the 90s. Nebraska, when they jumped into the Big Ten, they killed their program from a standpoint of recruiting, from a standpoint of being elite to where you're playing elite teams. I think it was a myth to jump in the pack, to jump in the Big Ten. It took some – they're so far out of it that it kills their recruiting area.
Yep, and they're trying to go to California, and they plucked a couple in there, but it's not enough.
They've
been struggling ever since they got rid of Coach Solich and tried to open up an offense, and they were winning 10 to 11 a year, running option and running the football, and they kind of got away from that. They've been struggling ever since, and now it's a tougher sell when you're not going to play games in that Texas and Oklahoma area anymore, too, and you're going to play all your games north of campus. So, yeah, they good luck. I mean, they're going to have a challenge as long as they stay in that conference.
Ryan, you know we're live here at Cardinal Gibbons High School with a key matchup in the state between American Heritage and Cardinal Gibbons High School. The atmosphere here is electrifying. And when I say electrifying, we thought Deerfield-St. Thomas game was electrifying, it is nothing compared to what this atmosphere here tonight is like.
And at one, I live down the road from right on the beach there from Cardinal Gibbons. That's one of the nicest communities that any high school can be set up in the country. And
correct.
Coach has done a great job there in really building up their program. They got that wide-open air raid offense, the most exciting quarterback in South Florida, and Nick Scalzo. And they got a lot of talented Division I athletes all over, and they're on both sides of the football. They're undefeated for a reason. They got some quality wins, and American Heritage walks in the door with the fastest team in high school football, and they're number four in the country. They played two times last year. Heritage got them both times. Gibbons has had this one circled all offseason. This is where they're going to see where their program's at, and I think it would be as big a win for them in a long, long time if they can pull off that national upset tonight.
But that's what I'm saying. But when you look at this game here, and also joining me on the Tony Sands Show, my main man Keith Franklin, he was in the car, so right now he's on the air with us. Ryan, we're joined with Keith Franklin, who is my quarterback guru when it comes to quarterbacks here in South Florida.
Nice.
Ryan, when we break down this game, and I always said the matchup between the receivers and the DBs of American Heritage. American Heritage defensive backs against Cardinal Gibbons' wide receivers. How do you see that matchup as playing out?
Right. Well, Heritage has better DBs than anybody they're going to go against because they have the top two corners in the country.
Correct.
And they have a guy in Dylan Lester, their strong safety, who, I mean, I visited Utah yesterday to wrap up my week, and they love that kid. So I can see him getting offers real quick. So you could have two five-star corners and a potential Power 5 DB in the same secondary. So I think that's, you know, that Heritage always has the advantage with their defense. We'll see if they can score enough offensively to maintain, because Gibbons will put points on the board.
And Ryan, Carnegie Gibbons has just taken the field. They bust through. They had the banner. They put up the Chief Osceola head at the – listen, Ryan, this place is electrifying.
I love it.
Electrifying when it comes to – like I said, St. Thomas game last week was a big game. But it's nothing compared to this atmosphere. This atmosphere here is a total different atmosphere when it comes to this football game and what this football game means to both of these teams. This is Carnegie Gibbons' opportunity to advance themselves in the playoffs, become district champ, and further themselves down the line for a chance to be in Orlando at the last game of the season. But they got to go through American Heritage, who has been their stumbling block for the last 3 years.
Right.
The last three years. Do Carnegie Gibbons, in your eyesight, do you think Carnegie Gibbons – this year gets over that juggernaut and become and win this game?
I think their quarterback Scalzo is like the South Florida version of Johnny Manziel. He's must-see TV. They do a great job getting the ball to Carlos Sandy. I think Chris Bogle is the top defensive end for next year in South Florida. And I'm not going to take anything away because they run a fun offense, but I mean, that the staff for Heritage with Pat Surtain and Chad Wilson and their offensive coordinator, Mario Perez, is going to run the football downhill, and he's going to get it to Miles Jones and Anthony Schwartz and make big plays, and they got their own good QB there. And the Patriots have been there and done that before. They seem to have their number. So I know you're which way you're leaning, Tony, and you're going to reveal that to the audience soon, but I'm going to go with
you
Surtain.
I'm going with
Surtain. You know that's my dude, and I like the Patriots tonight, probably 28-14, somewhere in there, 21-7.
28-7. I'm gonna give you 28-14. I'm gonna say 28-14. Yep. And you're leaning toward American Heritage, correct?
Right.
All right. Well, Franklin, we got you here on the show. And how this thing play out for you? How do you see this game is playing out?
Well, I'm looking at it, Tony and Ryan, as like you said, Tony, this is electrifying right now. It looks like Gibbons is a little like the ready for the silent assassin right now. They're a team that's been there. Like I said, you know, Tony, I kind of like those sharp quarterbacks.
I know you do.
Be back today. So, I don't want to tip my hat a little bit. But, you know, I love this kid, Scalzo. I got to be biased a little bit. You know, I'm a graduate of
I know you are a graduate, you know, of American Heritage. See, this is – now I put that pressure on you as when they put the pressure on me with St. Thomas as to play a deal field, and St. Thomas has to play teams like that to where I could possibly, you know, like, you know, hey, where it's tough to go against your alma mater.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to figure out tonight, Franklin. You know, I don't – it's – I can call this – the way I see it, like I said, I love both coaches. But I see this game as this is the game that Cardinal Gibbons states the claim to this district championship.
I will tell you this. I'm going to go back to the first game earlier this season. I think Gibbons made a big statement when they went up against Southridge down in Miami.
Yes.
At Trash Powell.
At Trash Powell, correct.
And they went down in Dade County, and I think they put Gibbons on the map for everybody to
But rest. Not only that, they go back to Dade County and they play Jackson and single-handedly beat Jackson. So guess what? To me, to go down to Dade County and play two Dade County teams and win them, to me that's been battle-tested, that it puts you at this stage right now to have to face those two teams to come back here now at your home field.
Absolutely.
Everything is playing in Gibbons' favor.
Yes.
Your home, you've been battle-tested.
Yes.
You've been battle-tested. So to me, I'm going to go Ryan. I'm going 20. Ryan on this game, I'm going 21-10, Cardinal Gibbons.
Ooh, the national shocker.
21-10, Cardinal Gibbons. Yes, I'm going 21-10, Cardinal Gibbons. Frank?
And I think what we can't overlook now, let's look at the special team.
Yes, that's what
I'm
saying.
Last time they played, it was a great defensive game.
And
I think Mario did a great job toward the end. He decided to run straight at Gibbons last year.
Correct.
I think Mario might go at that route again.
But now, Carter Gibbons' defense is much improved.
And those guys have got a game experience.
It's much improved. When you look at Ryan Sadler and the way he is, he's a leading tackle on this team. He's a young man that's all over the place.
Yes.
You actually, he transferred in from St. Andrews last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's become that to me, that Zach Thomas type of guy that even in, when I look at Cushion, he reminds me of a Cushion.
Yes.
He reminds me of a Cushion with the Texans. And this is why I say this team here is battle tested and they are ready to go. They're not going to, come into this game to where you see 2 years ago to where they lost, about 40 something. Then last year, this thing, like they say, I keep on knocking on the door and pretty soon I'm going to kick the door down.
Yes.
And I think this is the week that Carter Gibbons kicks the doors down.
And by you saying that, Tony, by using the word kicking, Gibbons has a great kicker.
Exactly.
And I'm looking at 24-10 Cardinal Gibbons tonight.
24-10
Cardinal Gibbons. I'm a little biased. I got American Harris blood tonight. But I think Gibbons might be ready to knock the door down.
So, Ryan, guess what? It's 2-1 as me and Coach Franklin take Cardinal Gibbons. You take American Heritage, man. Yeah. Listen, Ryan, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show, man. We've been to get ready to kick this game off. We're closing out the Tony Sands Show live here at American Heritage. Ryan, as we touch bases with you next week, where in this great state of America, in this great country of America, will we find the Ryan Bartow and the Tony Sands Show?
I will be with the Oregon Ducks by our main man. I'll be by Oregon State to try to figure out who's going to be the next coach there. I'll be by Stanford. I'll be by UCLA in California Love. And as I look out the window here and it's 32 degrees in lovely Boise, Idaho, I am very, very, very jealous of both you guys back in Fort Lauderdale, baby.
Hey, you tell my main man up there at Oregon, I said, what's happening, man? Because it is exciting here. This is the best atmosphere. But this is the year that Carter Gibbons that David and Goliath, this is the year that Carter Gibbons takes over this here, Ryan, as I tell you.
I agree.
You know, you way up in Utah and you saying American Heritage, but I'm here in South Florida, so I go Carter Gibbons to win this game tonight.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It's going to be an absolute classic. I wish I was there.
So we're closing out the Tony Sands Show here. Ryan, peace, love, and happiness, my brother.
Much love. Take care.
All right, brother.